Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Welcome to Studios America. We got a great show lined up for you today, but we're going to do first a quick word from Prize Picks. I want to tell you about Prize Picks. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. I loved it, been on it for a while. They've got over 5 million active members, and it's like the easiest way to do daily fantasy sports. It's an app where it's just you up against the stats. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. You can win up to like 100 times your money. Watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is the best way to get in action in sports in most states. I know California, Texas, and Georgia, it's now available. And they've got this injury insurance thing, which is awesome. Like, so if you get a big injury and your lineup's all screwed up, you get the insurance kind of take you out of that situation. You've got a situation they also have, which is protected play. Like I'm looking on here right now. I don't know anything about hockey. NHL, I don't really know it that well, but I will say they've got a $20 protected play. So I can go on there, put in a Prize Picks lineup, and if I lose, they're just gonna give me my money back, up to 20 bucks. Like, this is awesome. Go to the Prize Picks app today, use the code STUSPORTS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. The code is STUSPORTS on Prize Picks. Get 50 bucks instantly when you play $5. You don't even have to win to get that $50 bonus, it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Stu Does America.
StuDoesMerch.com. Go there, get free, all sorts of just wonderful, wonderful things. I think it's 10% off right now if you use code STU10. Get your merch at StuDoesMerch.com. Also, YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We get the comedy skits. We get the live news reaction. We go live all the time on YouTube. Go there, subscribe, and click the bell for notifications. Glenn Beck's going to be here. Going to talk about how we're going into nuclear war or something, which is what he always does. But this is a really scary one. We also got some polling updates, PulseCast update coming your way in a little bit. But we're going to start by doing $42 billion for nothing. Biden announces a $42 billion high-speed internet initiative. Do you remember this? This is back from a year ago in the summer in June. This is part of one of their big bipartisan infrastructure nonsensical deals. And a big chunk of this was $42 billion. What would you do with $42 billion if you had it? Do you think you could do some good in this country? Or would you get also nothing? Well, they say they've got plenty of stuff going on. What are you talking about? Biden-Harris administration, they're bragging about it, delivering on promise to connect everyone in America to reliable, high-speed internet service. Internet for all, boys and girls. But when you actually look at the press release they did, you'll notice they've got stuff, something called the Tribal Broadband Connectivity Program, which was $3 billion separate dollars having nothing to do with the $42 billion. Or the Enabling Middle Mile Infrastructure Program for $1 billion. Now, that's got nothing to do with it either. Or the Broadband Infrastructure Program for $288 million, but that's not the $42 billion. Or the Connecting Minorities Communities Pilot Program for $268 million. Stop for a moment. And think to yourself, you will not pay anywhere close in your life to $268 million. All the taxes you ever pay in your life will not pay for even a fraction of one of these dumb programs that they're dumping at the end of this list. Like the Digital Equity Act program, $2.75 billion going to that. And they brag about some of these people. Oh, we distributed more than 21,000 devices. Oh, well, that sounds fantastic. But here's what they say about the $42 billion that Kamala Harris has been bragging about. They approved 48 initial proposals. Is anyone connected to the internet because of that? No. They made available more than $20 billion in funding. They made it available. They say it that way because nobody's connected to the internet because of this program. They've met or exceeded all deadlines to keep the program on track. That's not connecting anybody to the internet. Not at all. In fact, the reason why they're presenting all that information with all those other programs connected to it is because they got nothing. Biden-Harris administration's $42 billion internet build-out rife with delays, frustrating rural voters. This is not something that, you know, we're just noticing here. The people who are in these areas who really need this internet are like, what is going on? Why can't we get this? You want us to give you credit for these programs. Can you at least get us hooked up to the internet? Shouldn't be that hard. There was a big letter from some senators to Kamala Harris, and it was pretty intense. I'll give you an excerpt on this. "We are writing to express serious concerns regarding your role as the Biden-Harris administration's broadband czar and the mismanagement of federal broadband initiatives under your leadership. It appears that your performance as broadband czar has mirrored your performance as border czar, marked by poor management and lack of effectiveness despite significant federal broadband investments and your promises to deliver broadband to rural areas. In 2021, you were specifically tasked by President Biden to lead the administration's efforts to expand broadband services to unserved Americans. At the time, you stated, quote, 'We can bring broadband to rural America today.' Despite your assurances over 3 years ago, rural and unserved communities continue to wait for the connectivity they were promised. Under your leadership, not a single person has been connected to the internet using the $42.45 billion allocated for the BEAD program. Indeed, Politico recently reported on the, quote, messy, delayed rollout of this program. Instead of focusing on delivering broadband services to unserved areas, your administration has used the BEAD program to add partisan extra-legal requirements that were never envisioned by Congress and have obstructed broadband deployment. By imposing burdensome climate change mandates on infrastructure projects, prioritizing government-owned networks over private investment, and mandating the use of unionized labor in states and seeking to regulate broadband rates, your administration has caused unnecessary delays, leaving millions of Americans unconnected." I mean, that is as bad as you can get, right? They got nobody connected to the internet, and they've had all these dumb explain to me the environmental risk of putting in a modem. There's just not any, okay? So relax. Of course, they're doing all these things because that means that their buddies who run environmental assessment companies can come in and get their checks, right? This is what happens with government. This is why when you hand over $42 billion for something like this, most of it gets wasted and almost nobody gets anything out of it. Even the Washington Post is calling this out. Biden's Internet for All program needs Musk's help. Now, this is one of the things I've talked about before, but it still holds, which is, you know, this is why government's bad at this, right? Like, they've spent billions and billions of dollars. You can go back to the Pat and Stu show when we were on this network together back in the day. And we used to do this one clip where we talked about the Lumbee tribe. It was a bunch of a Native American tribe that needed to get internet. And there was a wonderful testimony from a mom who was like, "I want my son to get his internet like he likes." And we used to play it all the time because we liked the clip. But at the end of the day, the problem with this is, of course, obviously, since all that stuff got installed, and they did give this tribe, eventually they got a bunch of money for internet, stuff like really fast cell phone service has come out, so we can really get internet at high speeds through your phone. Other options have come out, and kind of primarily Starlink was developed. The entire program came along. At no point would you need to run all these lines to these houses in rural areas if you have Starlink. It doesn't make any sense. Obviously, the easy solution for this is just Starlink. It's already there. There's a zillion satellites up in the sky. Look up. Every once in a while, it looks like Santa's coming across your skyline. And, you know, sometimes on December 24th, 25th, it might actually be Santa. But generally speaking, at this point, not going to be Santa. Like in the middle of the summer, it's Starlink. It's up there beaming internet to all these people. Now, Elon Musk, just in an interview with Tucker Carlson the other day, he suggests he'll be thrown in prison if Harris beats Trump. If he loses, I'm effed, which kind of a low-key slogan around these places these days. But I want to give you a couple parts of this because he talked specifically about how the Harris and Biden administration treated Starlink. Now, think about this for a second. You want rural internet. There's no they can give internet to Ukraine. They can give you internet to Africa. They can give internet to any rural area in the world with Starlink. That's what's so incredible about it. So it's obviously an easy solution and should get, I don't know, if you're going to spend this money, all the money, I don't know. Listen to Elon Musk talk about the process and what happened with Starlink.
So there's this total misunderstanding that my companies have been subsidized and supported by the government and get all these. And it's like, do you really think that a Biden administration is going to subsidize me?
Probably not.
Are you kidding? No. In fact, they take away every contract they possibly can. So, there, for example, there was the FCC contract to $42 billion for providing rural broadband.
Yes.
Okay. We actually first said, look, we think there shouldn't be any subsidies, so we recommend that this program just not exist. But since you're insisting that it exists, we will compete. And we have better products, so we won, I don't know, about a quarter of it, which would have included the devastated areas like North Carolina and stuff. And the FCC took it away, illegally. They just voted, the 3 out of 5 commissioners voted away and said, even though you won it, we're sending it.
On what grounds?
And do you know how many people they've connected?
How many?
Zero.
So you think that was political?
Well, the 3 Democrats voted against it. And the 2 Republicans voted for it.
Mm. Again, is this about internet? I mean, obviously not. I think there's and he points out something very, very clear here. The point, again, making this point back with the Lumbee tribe on the Pat and Stu show. It's not the government's job to connect you to the internet. Okay? It's not a right. It is not anything that the government needs to be involved in at all. I hope you like the internet. I hope you get something out of it. I hope you can stream this show. But guess what? It's not the federal government's job to make it possible for you to stream Studios America, even though it would be wonderful for my business model, I'm sure. It's just not one of those things that the government needs to be involved in at all. Full stop on that one. But since the program exists, if you're going to give a bunch of money to a company to give rural internet, it obviously should be Starlink. They obviously know how to do this better than anyone else. It's easy. You don't need to build any infrastructure. The satellites are already up there beaming the internet. Like, this is as easy as it gets. And of course, they're still screwing it up. There's more to this in context, though. I want to give you a little bit more. This is from Tucker Carlson Network, as well as Elon Musk.
So you tried to get Starlink, yes. Into North Carolina, into Western North Carolina, the areas devastated by the hurricane.
We have got, it is in there, and it is the primary means of communication in the devastated areas.
You had conflict with Buttigieg over this.
Well, I raised a concern. I said, look, we had delivered, we've been delivering Starlink terminals there for a while, and obviously some people already had them since they just, you know, private individuals that had Starlink there already. We delivered really thousands of terminals and got all the way up to the areas where they wouldn't let us go any further. And then we were like, okay, we're gonna send helicopters in and find people who are stranded and give them Starlink terminals. Which I think is, you know, a nice thing to
do.
Okay. They wouldn't let us land. Because there was an FAA notice to EMMA, NOTAM, that said in order to land, you have to know who you're going to meet with to land. Now, the problem is we're trying to deliver internet communications. People don't have internet communications. We don't know who they are. But then they can't reach us because they don't have communications. Do you see the catch-22 here?
Yes, I do.
Insane. So it's obviously impossible for people who don't have internet communications to let us know who they are because they don't have the internet.
This is your government in action. This is the Biden-Harris administration in action. You know, if Kamala Harris becomes president, there's going to be 50 of these programs. There's already a ton of them from the Biden administration, and it's only going to get much, much worse with 4 or maybe 8 years of Kamala Harris. I mean, it's insanity. Just yesterday, they came out with a new budget estimate for the deficit this year. It's now $1.8 trillion. Remember, this is not a COVID year. This is like after all that's passed. The projection now for 10 years in the future is $4 trillion in a single year. You think we can survive that? Obviously not. Obviously not. And yet we have this nonsensical Kamala Harris with to be fair, a person who has actually lost his marbles completely. I mean, Kamala never had them. Biden has lost his marbles completely. And they're doing things like this. $42 billion of your money and so far absolutely nothing in 3 years. This is not a policy that was passed 3 weeks ago and you have to give it time. 3 years they've wasted on this. It's absolutely insanity. And of course, you know, look, What do you expect, right? Watch the interviews with Kamala Harris. She obviously knows nothing about these topics, and she would just be open to all of this happening. Bidenomics as a philosophy, which would be continued by Kamalanomics, probably just juiced up to 11. This is a philosophy where you take a bunch of money from productive citizens, you give them to NGOs who provide services for underserved communities, and what it winds up being is a bunch of handouts to people who then take the money and dump a bunch of it back to Democratic campaigns. This is the way it works, and very few people benefit from these policies. It's really, really sad, but what would you expect from someone who, like Kamala Harris, who doesn't seem to understand anything and who can talk for hours at a time and say absolutely nothing? In fact, you can watch many, many clips of this at veepthoughts.com. Go there, watch them all, entertain yourself, entertain your friends, find one of your favorites and send it around. Go check them all out there, veepthoughts.com, or they're available on my social media as well. Here's today's episode.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
I think it's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders, for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past but the future.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
So you have a teenager at home. What do they want to do after high school? Other than, you know, play Xbox. If you need some guidance, maybe your kid needs a little head start. Maybe they need something that you want them to achieve more than everyone else. I mean, first of all, tell them to show up to work, because that seemingly is like better than 95% of people these days. But there's a new 6-week life and career skills course from Praxis, and this might just be exactly what they need. For the past decade, Praxis has helped nearly 1,000 homeschoolers and recent high school graduates launch their careers without college, with their mentorship program, which is great. Now they're bringing that expertise to teens with their new course. It's called Discover. Discover is a 6-week self-paced course designed to equip teens with essential life and career skills like, you know, building a professional network, making money by creating value, and developing a vision for the future. Things you need. Plus, it includes a coaching call, a free resume review, and a copy of the book, Don't Do Stuff That You Hate. Probably a good idea. For a limited time, by the way, they're offering listeners of our show 50% off the course. Right now, use the promo code STU50 at checkout. Get over $300 off. Visit discoverpraxis.com/blaze. Discoverpraxis.com/blaze. Learn more today. Discoverpraxis.com/blaze.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is how Biden-Harris gamble with Iran and Russia could lead to nuclear war. Be sure to stay tuned. The typical calm topic, soothing and relaxing.
Well, you know, this is probably the last time that we're going to be able to do a special on war. Donald Trump thinks this is the most important thing that people should be looking at. And nobody's, really? Yeah, nobody's talking about it. But he thinks it's the biggest threat, the possibility of nuclear war. And this will probably be the last time. We're 4 weeks away from the election?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt war, I hope. War is not the topic of conversation here. But we're going to show you how it all kind of started and what the administration has done, what we're doing currently, and what Russia is saying, what Iran is saying. And asking you, why are we giving money to Iran And why do we keep violating the red lines pushed by Russia?
It's really interesting how infrequently that gets asked of any of the candidates. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yesterday they released a new numbers on the budget, and we were now up to $1.8 trillion in deficit for 1 year, and up to $4 trillion by the projected end of the 10-year period, which is, I think, pretty good. I mean, $4 trillion in a year, what's the big deal?
It could be 400.
Right, it's not 400 trillion.
Yeah.
That's really good. But I don't think there's been one question asked about that, really. War with Russia, we talked about this many times on radio. In a way, it's like by far the most important thing, right? Like they keep saying we're crossing these red lines. They keep saying there's a report out today. They had credible conversations inside the Russian government about using nuclear weapons.
They will use nuclear weapons. They will. They will. We would, too, if our sovereignty was challenged and we thought we were going to lose property, territory, and it could topple our regime, and we knew the Russians were behind it, and we said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and they kept moving forward. If we had no options left and 500,000 people were already had already died on our side, yeah, I think we'd consider it and probably launch them too. You cannot challenge a nuclear regime with regime change and expect to just have them not use nuclear weapons. It's insane.
Is that where the Russian government is, though? I mean, to me, it looks like they're in a position of how much of Ukraine do they get? That's really the conversation, not a position of losing territory.
That's not the way we're painting it. We're still painting regime change. Excuse me?
I mean, it's
you cannot do that and have Putin's not going to sit down. If that's the goal, he knows if he cannot afford to lose. This is why this is so dangerous. He cannot afford to lose. If he loses, it could mean regime change for him, that he will lose a lot of power. Well, he's not going to do that. If we lose what? Total face around the world? That will destroy us. You have two superpowers that say, we must win. And they're both changing their nuclear doctrine. And quite honestly, I really believe one side is Malthusian. They reducing the population would be good for the Earth. I really believe they believe that. That doesn't make a case for nuclear war, but it sure does for all-out war.
It's just shocking.
Shocking.
We have reports from Bob Woodward's new book, however, that Donald Trump has been like, they're basically pen pals. Vladimir Putin, they've been talking after he's left office. He sent him, did you see this? He sent him COVID test machines in 2020 while he was still president. That was the accusation in Woodward's book.
So should we not?
Well, I think
be a humanitarian and say, hey,
I think, well, it was for his personal use, right? Like, so they were saying when they were not available, Vladimir Putin's getting COVID tests and, you know, theoretically, I guess the American people and the Russian people aren't. That was the accusation in the Woodward. Let me ask you more broadly about the Woodward book quickly, because I know this is not a huge, I do feel like he's actually hacked the system in a way, because he didn't say who any of the sources are. He doesn't even really give an indication. Everyone just has to believe him because of Watergate.
Correct.
So he can say literally anything in these books, and everyone just says, well, he's a legendary journalist. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't question him.
I mean, there should be no corruption that would come from something like that, ever. You're unchecked.
Yeah, unchecked
everyone
power.
Everyone trusts you. You know, you're legendary. That leads to bad things, always, yeah. Always.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so let me go to the race of where we are right now. We talked about this a little bit on radio today, but I think it's an interesting conversation because there has been a major strategy shift from the Kamala Harris campaign. Up until this point, she has not been on media at all, not doing any interviews. Mm-hmm. Suddenly this week she's done like 11. And I don't know why that is, but it is definitely a change. I feel like one that should be more widely discussed. What do you think is happening here?
Well, she might think that she is really good at relating to the folks. Anybody who says that cannot relate to the folks.
Right, right.
But might be, she might think she's really great and people would like to have a beer with her. But as evidenced on Stephen Colbert last night, she can't. She's not relatable. I don't want to have a beer with her. I don't know who would want to have a beer with her. She looked oh so very natural. So she might just be thinking that she's great natural. She might be thinking that, maybe some of the people who are backing her campaign are like, can you do some more here? Because it's too close. I'm hoping, and I have heard rumor of this, but I don't know. I don't know what to trust anymore. But I have heard that the internal campaigning numbers are not good. That they're not as far ahead as everyone's making it.
Not good for Kamala.
Not good for Kamala. Not good for Kamala. And that would be, because this is a suicide. I mean, this is like, hey, let's get some Japanese planes in the air, and Kamala, you fly it. I mean, yeah. This is a kamikaze mission.
Yeah.
You're not coming home from this.
Is part of this the hurricane, the response in North Carolina?
So it's the worst hurricane response I've ever seen.
You were there. You went, right?
Yeah. Donald Trump has been there. She went in that really nice, vice presidential sealed uniform, standing in front of a house that didn't seem to have any damage to it, talking about how great $750 is. That's not good. That's not good. And now she's drinking a beer with Stephen Colbert as
that's happening.
As that's happening tonight. A hurricane is barreling into Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? The one who really looks good right now is Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis.
Sure.
They look good. They look like but you wouldn't know that from watching, the mainstream media. They're, Donald Trump is engaging in conspiracy theories. I was there. I haven't seen anybody from NBC on the ground in Asheville. Doesn't mean that they weren't there, but they weren't there the day I was. We haven't seen any of their reporters wear the hillbilly Air Force is.
Oh, the Cajun Navy.
We have 50 helicopters that our group is overseeing. 50.
Jeez.
We haven't seen any press there. They haven't asked us a thing.
Talk to me a little bit about what Mercury One is doing in these communities, because we've been doing this for so long. It's still to me is weird when these people come out and they're like, oh my God, we'd be toast if it wasn't for Mercury One. And it's like, well, wait, that's like Glenn. What do you mean?
It's like the same, my daughter, when she came to me, she was younger, Hannah, and she was a voracious reader. And she said, Dad, you have to read this book. And I said, why? And she said, well, it's a number one New York Times bestseller. And I said, well, your dad's had like 8 number one New York Times bestselling books. And she it stunned her. She was like, oh, and she walked away. It was like,
yeah,
it didn't build me up.
No,
it destroyed the New York Times for her. And I think that's, we're all kind of feeling like that. It's like, how is this even happening? But this is why Mercury One was started. Remember, my whole goal, that's why one of the reasons why it's called Mercury after the moon mission and after the get people up into space, it was to send people back into their communities with and teach them responsibility and return them to those responsibilities in a 10-year period. Well, we're 12 years into it, and that's exactly what's happening. We're not actually doing things. We're providing the jet fuel. We're providing sometimes the bodies. Samaritan's Purse. We've shipped money and donations to Samaritan's Purse. We help people help themselves. That was our goal, and it's happening. I mean, I tell you, I think this is a dry run for the things that are to come.
Meaning more difficult times that we need to step up in?
Or? Yeah, earthquakes, wildfires, tornadoes, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not because of global warming. I happen to believe that Christ is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll mean there's going to be some turmoil. we have to exercise this muscle to get ready to help each other, to depend on one another, not on some government.
How do you view this arc, this relationship you've had with the audience that has manifested into so many incredible things? I mean, Afghanistan, I mean, we can go through the whole list, but we talked about it a little bit off the air, I think, on radio today. I mean, this audience has changed the world.
Literally, changed the course of many things. I don't know. It's the power of one that translates in the end to the power of many. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all individually based. It's all about, you know, somebody said to me, broadcasters, they were legendary broadcasters. And I was giving a speech to broadcasters, this is about 3 months ago. And I said, I care about my listener. I feel I know who they are. And I know when I'm talking to them, I'm talking to that one listener. That's why we're friends when we meet, because I know you. You know me. And they came up to me afterwards and said, you are the only broadcaster. He said, we were sitting at a table, opposite sides of the table. We looked at each other. He said, because we have said, people always say my listeners. They don't ever say my listener, my viewer. It's always plural. And I think that's one of the secrets is I believe in the power of the individual. I believe when I talk to individuals, I'm not talking to the mass. You know this, we talk about what does a person need to hear today, okay? And so the individual is empowered, and then together as a group, they begin to act, and they believe now that they can. I mean, remember when we said, we're going to go save people in Afghanistan? That's not even possible.
It did not seem possible.
22,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
22,000 people in Afghanistan got out because this audience paid for the airplanes and organized on the ground to get people out. That's insane.
It's incredible.
Why they're so afraid of things like Mercury One, because we know now, we have testimony that I can't wait to share, that the State Department blocked our planes at first from taking off because we were embarrassing the United States government and the State Department, okay? We're showing them we don't really need you. I mean, it'd be nice if you helped out, but if you don't, that's okay. We have this. And one of the things I said when we first launched Mercury One was, back under Hoover was the last time the government came in with truckloads of stuff into Texas. There was a huge hurricane. And the people met them at the border and said, turn your trucks around. We don't need you. That's what's happening now. Turn your trucks around. We don't need you. If you were here helping out, that would be great. But to try to swoop in now and take over everything now that we have it all running, no thank you. We don't need you. Mm. The other thing that's really important is the role of former military. These guys know exactly what they're doing. They know how to set operations up. They know how to rescue people. They know how to protect areas. I mean, these guys are amazing. The vets are about to play a very big role in helping people in the coming few years.
Help if you can. Mercury1.org is the place to go. You can donate, you can volunteer your time, whatever you have in the reservoir would be great because it's with this thing happening in Florida, and God only knows what's next in the next few weeks, let alone the next few years, your help is definitely going to be needed. Glenn Beck, the new special is coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's how Biden-Harris gamble with Iran and Russia could lead to nuclear war. Be sure to stay tuned, blazetv.com/stew, if you want to subscribe, and mercury1.org to donate. Glenn, thanks.
I would really appreciate it if you would talk about Jace Medical a little bit.
I would love to right now.
Could you do it right now?
Sure, I could do it right now.
Wow, that would be great.
Here we go. Let's do a little bit of a segment with music and me walking around somewhere, and then I'll do that. Actually, I was sitting in the musical montage there. Okay, actually, Jace Medical has been helping these hurricane victims in these areas. Why? Well, it's kind of like what they do, right? Like the ideal thing is you're prepared for this in advance, right? The ideal thing is you're prepared for whatever hits you in advance. You can't always do that, though. Sometimes you get hit with a storm or whatever it is that's so devastating that you can't do it by yourself and you need help, and that's okay. But if you can take steps to prepare you and your family, like, for example, with Jace Medical in the Jace case, I'd recommend you do so. You know, Asheville is an interesting example of this. They were totally out of the normal path of storms. They didn't think that this would be an issue that would affect them. And then it hits you. I mean, what do you do? Jace.com, enter the code STU at checkout. You get a discount on your order on your Jace case. This is an emergency bundle of medications that can help you get through a crisis. They've got all sorts of other services, too. You can check. If you do that, you'll knock this out. And you don't know if it's a terrorist attack or an unrest or a natural disaster, whatever it is. You're going to need the medicines that you need to recover from any illness. And Jace Medical can help you with this stuff. Jace.com, Jace.com. The code is STU, Jace.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
New poll out from USA Today and Reuters Ipsos finds that Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump 47-40 in the national poll as she appeared to blunt Trump's edge on the economy and jobs. Harris had a lead of 6 percentage points when you look at it in unrounded figures. The actual number was 46.61% to 40.48%. This is something, and I can't always be sure about what's going to happen in an election, but let me just tell you something I'm pretty sure of. Donald Trump's not going to get 40% of the vote. That's not a thing that's going to occur in this election. And this is, by the way, slightly higher than her 5-point advantage over Trump in a September 11th and 12th Reuters poll. Now, that tells you something. This Reuters poll has been favorable for Kamala Harris. This one on the good side of even the favorable for Harris, though. Asked which candidate had a better approach on the economy, 43% said Trump, 41% said Harris. Okay. Pretty inconsistent with other polling that we're seeing, and pretty inconsistent in an environment that is reflected here. Voters think America's economy stinks. There's nothing that will change that before the election, says CNN, by the way. In reality, the data, no matter how bad or good, probably won't make an ounce of difference for most voters. The majority of them believe we're on the wrong track or weak, according to a poll, September poll, registered voters done by the Harvard Center for American Political Studies. 66% of registered voters believe their family's income is not keeping pace with the cost of living. This is worse than in 2022. So if you think about back in 2020, people are coming off of COVID, like understandable negativity about the future of the economy at that point. But it got better into 2022 and is now getting worse again. Why is that? For almost 2 years, around 40% of Americans who said their household financial situation was worse than it was a year ago believed it was because of higher prices, according to monthly surveys by the University of Michigan. Bottom line is, how do these two things exist at the same time, right? How is Kamala Harris up by 7, but at the same time, most people believe their economic situation is worse? What happened to, it's the economy, stupid. What happened to that? Where's James Carville these days? Well, the reason you get a lot of conflicting polling, you get a lot of conflicting information. That's why we created the PulseCast, to kind of put our finger on all these polls and try to figure out, okay, what are they all saying? Let's not cherry pick the ones that look good or cherry pick the ones that look bad. Look at all the polls, look at the election models being fully built out by kind of data nerds, and also the prediction markets where people are betting their real money on what the outcome will be. We put that up into a little algorithm we made over the past few months, and we give you an output. And right now, this is basically a toss-up race. 46%, it's 45.92% for Trump, 54% chance for Harris to win. That is a slight. I keep saying this over and over again. I'm sorry to repeat myself, but that is the slightest of advantages for Harris. It's 100% in the toss-up category. I would not say that's anything other than flipping a coin is what that is. 54 to 46 is the percentage chance right now. It's an interesting race, and you can kind of see, if you look at the back of that chart, tightening over the past week or so, maybe two-week period for Donald Trump. So it's getting even closer than a toss-up. That's where we are right now. Another thing I want to make, I just want to point out, and I keep pointing this out, I feel like I'm the only person pointing it out, we're starting to see maybe some pickup of this in the mainstream media, is this race in Nebraska. I did a show a week ago, Thursday, which was our Senate board, kind of give you a lineup, and I can look over to my left here. You can't see it, but I can. 50 Republican seats, you know, leaning at least in that category, 45 for the Democrats, 5 in the toss-up category. One of the races in the toss-up category is this bizarre race in Nebraska. Too close to give you really an indication. Nebraska Senate race surprise, says CBS News. More competitive than it should be. This is true. Basically, what they're doing in Nebraska to try to win the seat, the Democrats, are not running a candidate. They put this independent up. His name is Dan Osborne. They're saying, oh, he's just an independent. We have nothing to do with it. Now, of course, he's just a Democrat. He will be a Democrat, 100% a Democrat. He's a labor guy. There's no question about where this guy aligns. He's not actually an independent. Deb Fischer is the Republican. I've criticized her before on the show, kind of a weak voting record for a Republican. If anything, she's way too moderate for a state like Nebraska. But they're trying to take advantage of people in Nebraska and fool people into voting this way. Now, I will say the polls are all very close. Some of them even have Osborne ahead. My caution on this is that we have almost no nonpartisan or ideologically motivated polling from the state. So I don't really know what the story is there. It's in the toss-up category because the polling that we do have is very, very close. To be real, I think Fischer will hold this here. But if Osborne wins, this will be a massive, massive hit toward the Republican and conservative projects, whether they can get the majority in the Senate, whether they can get anything passed, whether judges can get through. This is a massive, massive story. If you're in Nebraska, if you have people in Nebraska, make sure they know about this race because people are not awake to it yet. And we're only 4 weeks away from this election. Voting's starting to happen already. So keep an eye on this race. It's in Nebraska. There are two Senate races in Nebraska. One is Ricketts. He's going to win easily. The other is this Fischer race, and it's going to be closer than it should be. So pay attention to that one. We'll have more Senate updates and presidential updates here as we go forward in the coming days. Don't kid yourself. The future of the Supreme Court is on the ballot. We just talked about this with this Nebraska Senate race. It's really, really important that you get out there and check these races out and you know, figure out who you want to vote for. There are radical leftists. And look, Osborne in Nebraska will be one of these if he wins, that want to eliminate the court's conservative majority by packing the Supreme Court with their own candidates, their own justices. They want the outcomes that they want. Even President Biden has gotten into the act by making reforming the court one of his final priorities before he leaves office and is handing this off to Kamala Harris if she were to win. Don't be fooled. The end game is court packing. And at First Liberty, they call this assault on the court. What it is, a Supreme Court coup. They want to take it over. They don't like the rules, so they want to change the rules. That's why they've been sounding the alarm for a while on this, and they need your help. If we can unite, we can do something about this, and we can stop the radical left's plan to take control of the Supreme Court. As the 2024 election approaches, we need to do three things. One, you know, find out where your candidates are on this stuff. Are they for packing the court? Two, share this information with everyone that you know. And three, go out there and vote. These are really important elections and really important things are on the line, including the entirety of the Supreme Court. Go to supremecoup.com/stew, supremecoup.com/stew. Learn how you can help stop the radical left's takeover of the Supreme Court with the help of First Liberty. They're awesome at First Liberty. supremecoup.com/stew. So much going on in the world. We're less than a month away from the election. Tomorrow, we're going to have, I want to make sure you get some laughs in as well. We've got a new comedy bit coming out tomorrow, probably around 6 p.m. Eastern or so. We've been trying to post the show around there on YouTube if you get a chance to check out the show normally. Also, have this comedy bit being posted around that time as well. This is about, it's a little something on the Hamas situation. Hamas, Israel, Middle East. I think you'll like it. It's at YouTube. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. You can get all that content and more, of course, as part of your Blaze TV subscription. If you go to blazetv.com/stu, use the code, what is it? Stu40? Is that Stu40? Use the code Stu40. You get $40 off your subscription right now. It's the biggest discount they've ever offered, so might as well take advantage of it and get all the election coverage and all the other shows. A lot of great stuff. So check it out.